Kelly Leonard is a frequent guest on this show. You probably have heard his Getting to Yes And podcast. It's one of the best. He's the executive vice president of Second City, and he joins us on WGN. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. You always have great local stories, sometimes with a hook. The one about Art Garfunkel's roommate.
Sanford, yeah.
My brother now just stops people in the street and tells them that story. And in fact, he was telling it back to me.
Okay, great.
Here, I interviewed you about it, so I'm pretty familiar with the story. And then he was telling it back to me, and he wasn't telling it as well.
Oh.
And our wives were there, and they're like, well, that's kind of cool. But he goes, no, it's earth-shattering. This is the most amazing thing. But it's amazing when you tell the story, not when Mark or I tell the story. If people wanted to hear that one, how do they find that?
Actually, it came up this week. It's the current podcast. So if you go to WGN's website, you'll have my interview with Sanford Greenberg.
That's all you need to know. Trust me, you'll be happy you invested the time. WGNradio.com, the podcast is Getting to Yes And. What are you looking at today?
All right, so I just interviewed Lenore Skenazy. Great name. She's from Wilmette.
Gesundheit.
Exactly. She, you might remember about 10 years ago, she was labeled the world's worst mom for letting her 9-year-old take the subway by himself in New York.
Oh, I remember that. This is her?
This is her. So
where does she live?
She's in New York now. But another podcast guest I had on recommended her. And I was like, yeah, sure. And she wrote a book called Free Range Kids. And she runs a group called Let Grow, which is about creating new paths for parents and schools in the country to let kids have adventures and develop more interdependence and grow resilience. So I want to read, if I could, she has a whole chapter on Halloween. So this is why I thought, you know, we've got Halloween coming up. I live in Ravenswood Manor neighborhood in Chicago, which is like Halloween central. There is bands. There are.
Is that Blagojevich's or
yes,
Rahm
it is.
Emanuel's?
No, it's Blagojevich. Yeah. In fact, I moved in on Halloween. This is, you know, a little under 20 years ago. And I took my son Nick trick-or-treating. And Rod was out front in his regular clothes. And someone said to him, I will never forget this, Rod, what are you dressed as? And he said, an honest politician.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's how he got elected.
Yeah. Right. So I'm going to read this passage that opens up the chapter on Halloween. And she writes, quote, Halloween is just the perfect example of how a fun, even revered childhood activity has been turned into an orgy of worrying, warning, spending, and obsessing. The biggest fear on Halloween, of course, is that somehow your nice, quiet neighbors have been waiting like kids for Christmas for the one day to murder local children.
That's right.
So there's all this data to suggest that this is not the case. One of the things is I remember as a kid, and you probably do too, right? The whole thing about apples and razor blades.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
happens every year.
Yeah. It's never happened. And you know who started it? A couple sister gossip columnists. Dear Abby, in 1983, reminded readers that somebody's child will be seriously injured or killed on Halloween, someone's child will catch on fire and die due to a flammable costume, and somebody's child will become violently ill because of poison candy.
She put that in her column.
Yeah. And then Ann Landers, in 1985, warned of reports of razor blades and poison and taffy apples in candy. And there were no reports.
Shy of any evidence, I guess they thought, well, it would be good to at least put that out there, but your first quote was right. That ruins a holiday.
Yeah.
That it's just not true. You shouldn't put out not true stuff.
Yeah, no. It's, and in fact, at the University of Delaware, Joel Best studied crime reports from Halloween going back as far as 1958. Zero evidence that any child was hurt or killed by a contaminated treat.
So now some kid's going to get contaminated, and that still won't change the fact that it's safer than walking to school or whatever.
Yeah, well, there is one big danger on Halloween.
What's that?
Cars.
Oh.
So kids do get hit by cars more on Halloween, which just makes sense. My neighborhood, that has been my biggest fear, both for my own kids, but I see other kids because, you know, a lot of people are driving into that neighborhood and dropping their kids off to go because it's a lot of full-size candy bars. Not at my house. Don't come looking for that.
You're not a full-size?
Not full-size.
You're not a full-size house?
Can't afford that.
It is expensive. And when we have handed out full-size, we've done both over the years. And maybe one year when we were feeling especially flush, we got the big ones. Maybe you also anticipated that traffic was going to be lower. So you say, okay, we can do this. But once the word gets out, Station wagons pull up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, we're here. We're here. You got the big candy bars.
Yeah. So it's really interesting reading in the book that there, I mean, even this is actually true today, that Nationwide Hospital in Columbus, Ohio offers free X-rays of any Halloween candy a parent is worried about.
Right. That's right. Well, didn't some police stations or fire departments, maybe it's the hospitals, they would be the ones with the X-ray machines. You can drop your candy off to get X-rayed first. Mom, really?
Yeah. I mean, it is so beyond the pale. And really, the whole book is about this, about the fact that we want kids to be resilient. And the reason that this my other podcast guest suggested this for me is because in improvisation, right, what we are always teaching is the ability to fail fast, fail on your feet, and grow resilience, because we're going to make mistakes, we're going to fall down, and the sort of helicopter parenting is really not setting your kids up for success later.
Do you guys fail on stage sometimes?
Oh, for sure.
I doubt that. I mean, maybe your definition of fail is not the same as mine.
I'm going to suggest it is, and here's what it is. It's sort of protected failure, right? We're not going to fail in prime time. You know, when you come to the two-act scripted show, that's not a failure show. But the late-night improv set, where we're kind of taking some chances, where the ties come off, where it's a little looser, that's where we have sort of permission to fail.
And even then, if what you're doing is comedy, if it fails, there's no, you know, nobody died here.
Nope.
It's like, you can almost spin that into its own kind of joke, right?
Exactly. You can move on. You can play with that sometimes. I mean, Carson was just the best with us, right? When he had a joke that bombed, just raised the eyebrow.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day about his too soon. Was that Abe Lincoln jokes that he would tell?
Yeah, it was Abe Lincoln jokes.
And then he would go too soon, too soon. But that kind of worked for him. What's Second City doing now?
We're virtual. So we are doing classes. So the training center is pretty robust. So not only have people, you know, transferred their writing classes or improv classes or acting classes, we're doing lots of sort of drop-in classes. And those are attracting people from all over the world. So we're actually offering them at odd hours. We'll have classes at 9 at night or 9 in the morning, because now you don't have to live in Chicago to take classes. So we've actually grown our audience that way. And then a lot of corporate workshops, a lot of keynotes. But then what we're really doing the most of right now is we're hosting company meetings. So companies still have to meet. And they figured out that just being in the Zoom box is maybe not good if you have to meet all day. And so you bring in Second City. We have a host. We've got music. We'll break it up with comedy sketches. We'll create video content, that sort of thing.
So this isn't the Friday morning one-hour sales meeting. It's maybe the semi-annual all staff,
all hands on
across
deck,
the country kind of thing.
Yeah.
Give me an example of that. How many people? What kind of a company? How long are you all doing?
Oh, God. So there's a lot of these.
Really?
Pharma and tech, of course, who have not really been hurt by the pandemic, were the first to jump on. But now everyone's realized that even though sales have taken a hit, the company needs to keep going and they got to take care of their people. So we're working with, God, it's almost like every industry. There's some retail, but most of it is in the areas that I just talked about.
Talking to somebody on the Wintrust Business Lunch yesterday about that. We're all remote. You're not in their face. You're not in their cubicle or office space. If you're a manager, you need to find a way to connect back with your people at home or wherever they're working. And even if it's in another office, we're just not traveling as much anymore. And there's a couple of problems that come up with that. One is they start to resent you, or you start to resent them. Little frictions start to percolate. The people feel that you're starting to micromanage them because of maybe a text or an email you sent that might be misconstrued. It's just a whole new dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that existed before live, but it's worse. I was actually literally just talking about this on a webinar the other day where we were talking about the need for shorter and more frequent conversations in this environment. But then the other is, and this is an improv thing too, replacing blame with curiosity. So if someone says something that seems a little bit off, instead of just getting mad and assuming intent, how about being curious as to what that comment maybe meant or didn't and ask the question? So if we can open our spaces where we're having that kind of communication, we're going to avoid a lot of these pitfalls that you're talking about.
Well, isn't the lost skill there, or the one at least you're pointing to, listening, hearing what the person said? And if it is in conflict with what you're doing here, maybe pursue that. Say, no, I don't understand what you just said. Tell me that, and then we'll fix it right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, what you're trying to do is drop the judgment. So I have a quick example of that. recently a relative of mine switched jobs and gave the announcement before he had gotten the new job. To said, hey, look, I've interviewed. Maybe we'll have to give 2 weeks' notice soon. Came in the following week, and his hours were cut. Furious. Just like this retaliation when he was being honest. And 2 days later, the manager came in and said, hey, I realized you could have misconstrued that. We have these sisters who are leaving, and they need a little extra money before, and I thought that would be okay. Or is that cool? And he's like, oh, my God. I just made this assumption. I built it up. I got upset about it when all along it was something perfectly reasonable.
Hmm. Well, we got to go. But was there anything else in your Halloween notes there that we were going to pass along?
I was just going to say that if you need information on how Chicago is handling this, it's chicagohalloweek.org is where the city website is. And I just wanted to actually pitch. The Music Box Theater has been doing drive-in horror movies in Pilsen. You know, check that out before you go. It's a really, really cool Halloween event for adults.
So you drive in. So you go to Pilsen there and you're in your car and you're watching it on a big
screen. You're watching horror movies.
Does that work? Is it maybe scarier because you're in the confines of your car, or is it better if you're in a movie theater?
I would think it's pretty cool in the car, right?
Yeah, I think so. I've been talking about The Exorcist for the last couple of days with our listeners, and some of them did see it on the big screen, and it just freaked them out. That is at a drive-in.
So oh, sure.
I guess that works. Kelly's interview with, just go back now.
Sanford?
Yes.
Sanford Greenberg.
And I shouldn't have said what I said, but anyway, just check out that conversation he had at Getting to Yes And, his podcast at WGNRadio.com. Nice to see you, Kelly Leonard.
Good to see you.